You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Talking Rangers baseball today on this Thursday, October 19th, with T.R. Sullivan, our Rangers reporter for MLB.com. T.R., we thank you very much for the time, and of course, we are into the offseason for the majority of the teams at Major League Baseball, as of course, we are headed down the path of the 2017 World Series. But, T.R., what I want to do today is kind of look at the long and winding road, if you will, when you look at a team's starting rotation coming out of spring training and how that rotation ends up by game 162. I think a lot of fans kind of overlook how many twists and turns there are between games 1 and 162 and how that rotation takes shape. So, like I said, kind of take us from the beginning, you know, earmark, the five guys that were pegged as the Rangers starting rotation coming into game 1, and maybe how that rotation looked much different come game 162.
Now, Matt, that's a great point, because the Rangers went into this offseason knowing that they're going to have to rebuild their starting rotation. And, you know, kind of what happened last year shows you that the best laid plans often get knocked off track. You know, last year the Rangers went into the opening day hoping they'd have a rotation of Cole Hamels, Martin Perez, and Yu Darvish coming back from the previous year. And then they picked up Andrew Cashner and Tyson Ross in the offseason. They knew Ross was coming off shoulder surgery and would take at least a month to be ready to join the rotation. Cashner was also coming off an injury, and he was supposed to be ready for opening day, but he had a little bit of a setback. But what happened was, you know, Tyson Ross took forever, and he really never was the pitcher the Rangers expected, so that took him off track. You know, Cole Hamels was doing good until he strained a rib cage muscle, and he missed 2 months, so that really hurt them. And then, you know, A.J. Griffin was pitching good for a while, then he got clobbered by some injuries, and before you know it, they got a kid named Austin Bibbins-Dirk, who'd been in the minor leagues for 12 years. He's facing off against Max Scherzer in Washington and beating them. But, you know, the Rangers could never really get that rotation where they wanted it to. And so, you know, come July 31st, you know, they feel like they know they're out of the division race and they're out of the wild card race. So they trade Yu Darvish back to the Dodgers for some good young prospects. And then they end up staying in the wild card race till the end of the year. You know, Nick Martinez was in and out of the rotation. You know, they got Cole Hamels back. But the whole thing was, you know, they were just trying to, you know, jury-rig that rotation from the beginning to the end. And I think the bottom line is you just have to have depth. You just can't go in there with five guys thinking these are going to be our five guys. You really got to have seven, eight, nine guys that you think you can count on. Number one, because you know there are going to be injuries. And number two, you don't want to rush young pitchers out of the minor leagues and get them up here before they're ready. So I think that's the two things the Rangers really need to do, is they need to plug in the rotation with some really solid veterans who have a good track record of being successful at the big league level, and they need to find some depth as well that can plug in during the season when things get off track.
Yeah, and like you said, you just never know what twists and turns you're going to take during the course of a year. You know, Yu Darvish becomes a Dodger. You've got young guys getting called up and facing Cy Young winners and beating them. It's so crazy. The many paths that a pitching rotation goes down during the course of a season, and of course the Rangers no exception. TR, I want to break down a couple of guys on the staff, beginning with Cole Hamels. You mentioned that he looked good in the early going of the 2017 campaign, had some injury concerns. You look at his 2016 numbers, he was excellent. He was 15-5, a 3.32 ERA. Those numbers down in 2017, 11-6, a 4.20 ERA. You know, and again, taking into consideration his health issues, can you call this a down year for Cole Hamels, or how do you assess things for him?
Well, I think it was part of a transition year for Cole Hamels, because this is a guy who's getting older. He doesn't throw as hard, and I think Hamels is really starting to grasp the concept that he's really going to have to focus on five pitches. He really needs to have his changeup working. You know, he's got the cut fastball. He's got the breaking ball stuff. And, you know, he's always been a very good pitcher. He's always been a very smart pitcher. He always has a good game plan, knows what he's doing. But he's also been a very talented pitcher. And as he gets older, I think the pendulum is swinging a little bit more towards, he knows he's going to have to be smarter. He knows he's going to have all five pitches working. And I think he's just evolving a little bit as a pitcher as he gets into his second half of his career. And I think this is a guy who wants to pitch for 5 or 6 more years. So he knows he's going to have to make adjustments on his use of his pitches.
Yeah, and hopefully in 2018, assuming full health, he can get back to that 15 to 20 win neighborhood that he is typically in this season, finishing at 11-6. Still not bad. The ERA up, though, from 3.32 to 4.20. TR, the next guy I want to break down is Martin Perez, and it seems like, you know what you're going to get with Perez. 33 starts 2 years ago, 32 this year. The ERA is pretty similar, 4.39 last year, 4.82 this year. And again, with Perez, is this just kind of what you expect from him, or is there still a sense that maybe this guy can take it to another level and have a breakthrough, or again, is this just who he is at this point?
Well, that's a great question, Matt, and that's one thing the Rangers are really wrestling with, because they wrestled with it with Derek Holland. And, Derek Holland came up here, and he was pretty good, and he had some good years, not spectacular, but there were solid years on World Series teams, and the Rangers kept thinking, well, this guy's going to take it to another level. He's going to be a Cy Young candidate, All-Star, all those neat things, and they gave him a long-term contract. And Martin Perez has always been a top prospect, and the Rangers have always felt like this kid is going to really be a frontline All-Star type of pitcher, and they gave him a long-term contract. He had the Tommy John surgery. That took a couple years to get back on track. He had a 7-game winning streak in August and September that really got the Rangers' hopes up. And their hope, the Rangers still think this guy is going to be a 15, 16-game winner, 3 ERA, 200 innings. They really think this kid is going to be something special in the big leagues. And they have him under control for 3 more years. But to use the cliche, that he's got to put it all together. I mean, he's got to do it from opening day to mid to late October, and this kid wants it bad. I mean, I don't know if I've ever, this kid really wants to be good. I mean, this kid does not want to be mediocre. He's kind of like Derek Holland in that regard. He wants to be special. He wants to be a Cy Young candidate. He wants it bad, and I think he's still trying to figure out who he is as a pitcher. But I think the Rangers are encouraged by some of the progress he's made, but they're still hoping he'll take it to another level.
Yeah, like you said, the durability's there. He's made 30-plus starts 2 years running, hovering around 200 innings, but now it's time to, take that durability and turn it into a little more productivity, and maybe 2018 is the year for Martin Perez to do that. Last guy I want to focus on is Andrew Kashner, and Kashner, an interesting case. In 2016, his ERA was, he just had a bad season. There's no way to really tiptoe around it. 5-11, a 5.25 ERA. He was good with the Rangers this past year. 11-11 doesn't jump off the page, but a 3.40 ERA in the American League is something that will raise eyebrows. The thing with him that's a little odd, I guess, is that he doesn't strike out a lot of guys. 166 and two-thirds innings, only 86 Ks. It didn't hurt him from an ERA perspective. What is the consensus here on Andrew Kashner going forward?
Well, I think Doug Bocelli, the pitching coach, did a tremendous job with Andrew Kashner this year. Really changed him as a pitcher. And, Kashner had been a big strikeout guy, and I think Bocelli, worked him into using the sinker ball more, making early contact, and really changing his style as a pitcher. And Kashner did a tremendous job of embracing that, and I think that's why you saw, number one, the low ERA and the low strikeouts. And I think that, he's a free agent this year, and who knows where he'll end up, and maybe he'll come back to the Rangers. I think the next step for Kashner is combined with what Bocelli worked with him on in 2017, and maybe get a little bit of the strikeout pitch back, maybe kind of combine the two once he's really figured out that he can get out to the sinker and he can pound the strike zone, and once he's done that, maybe he can go back to a little bit of the breaking ball and get the strikeouts when he needed and really become a complete pitcher. But I think Doug Bocelli did a terrific job with him in 2017.
Yeah, he certainly did, and the numbers bear that out. And like you said, Kashner is a free agent, and maybe he's ticketed back to Arlington for 2018, but we will see. An intriguing guy to keep an eye on for next season and beyond. And that's a good place to wrap this one up. T.R. Sullivan, our thanks to you as always. We'll do it again at this time next week as always. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Texas Rangers.